No, that from 4 to 5. It's 5 o'clock now, and this is the WEFT Courier, a daily information service of WEFT. We broadcast Disability Beat every Monday from 5 to 5:30, followed by Rootstock Radio from 5:30 to 6. Then at 6 o'clock, stay tuned for In the Know. And now here's this week's edition of Disability Beat.
This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for an interview with J.J. Hanley, director of Illinois ABLE. But first, disability news for the week of December 3rd, 2018. Advocates are optimistic that the forthcoming shift in the balance of power in Congress could bring positive change for people with disabilities. In 2019, the U.S. House of Representatives will turn over to a Democratic majority, while Republicans will hold their advantage in the Senate. The new Democrat-led House essentially ends the push to repeal the Affordable Care Act, or ACA, experts say. Advocacy groups have fought to preserve the law and its insurance protections for people with pre-existing conditions and expansion of Medicaid coverage to more families. A top priority for disability advocacy groups is the Empower Care Act, which would extend funding for the Money Follows the Person program. The Medicaid initiative helps older people and those with disabilities leave nursing homes and institutions in favor of community-based housing. The bill to renew Money Follows the Person, which expired in 2016, passed through a House committee in September and is awaiting a full vote in the House along with a similar bill in the Senate. States have been running out of money to fund the program, and advocates are hopeful it will be approved before the new year. Another bill supported by advocacy groups is the Health Care Extension and Accessibility for Developmentally Disabled and Underserved Populations, or HEADS UP Act, which would create incentives for medical providers to specialize in caring for people with disabilities. Julia Bascom of the Autistic Self-Advocacy Network said her group will also push for the end of sub-minimum wage for people with disabilities. Educating new members of Congress on developmental disabilities will be another primary goal, advocates indicated. Kaylin Bennett is a 6'10", 300-pound basketball recruit from Little Rock, Arkansas, and he has autism. Once labeled a child who might never speak or walk, he is readying himself to break new ground. Earlier in November, Bennett became the first student athlete with autism to sign a national letter of intent to play a team sport at the NCAA Division I level, according to the NCAA. He'll enroll at Kent State next summer. Said Bennett, quote, "I want to make an impact, not just on the court, but with kids that are struggling with the same things I am. I want to use this platform to inspire other kids with autism and non-autism. I want to let them know, hey, if I can do this, you can do it too. A lot of times they feel alone, and I felt that same way growing up," end quote. Recruited by several other colleges, he chose Kent State in large part because of its growing initiative with autism support on its campus. The challenge over the next 4 years is for Kent to support Bennett's academic and social acclimation, while his mother will move to Kent for emotional support, which is not uncommon among basketball recruits. Bennett must prove he can function on his own, living in a dorm and going to classes, while he also finds his place on a basketball team that is a perennial contender in the Mid-American Conference. Kent has several campus resources for students with autism to help smooth the college transition, partnering for academic and learning success, college success for students with Asperger's or autism, TRIO student support services, and several other programs. Traditional students who wish to be involved are often paired with a student with autism. One of the sororities on campus has direct involvement with the KSU's autism initiatives. And when this four-year chapter ends for Bennett, who already eyes possible degrees in math or sports administration, he knows what the next step will be: to grow the world's awareness of people with autism. Just in time for the holidays, a series of special events across the country will offer calmer environments for children with disabilities to enjoy some one-on-one time with Santa Claus. Over 400 malls and other shopping destinations from Maryland to Hawaii will host sensory-friendly experiences with Santa, most of which will be held December 2nd or December 9th. The events, advertised under a variety of names, include Santa Cares, Caring Santa, and Sensitive Santa, will be held during off hours to avoid crowds and allow for adjustments to the mall's lighting and sounds. Participating Santas have been trained to take cues from parents and caregivers in order to meet each child's individual needs, organizers say. Some are even knowledgeable in American Sign Language. Unlike most Santa experiences, families are asked to reserve a time slot in advance for the special sensory-friendly events. Then each child will be called up individually in order to avoid waiting in line. Quiet activities will be available to entertain kids while they wait. The events are open to anyone with special needs, and families can sign up online to participate. The web address is autismspeaks.org/Santa#IL. And finally, a 28-year-old with a disability is headed to space, and MTV plans to chronicle the voyage. The cable network said this week that it will follow Eddie Andapo as he works with an aerospace company to prepare for and make the flight. Andapo is from South Africa and has spinal muscular atrophy. He is expected to be the first person with a physical disability to travel into space, MTV said. Diagnosed at birth, Andapo was predicted to live just 5 years. Nearly three decades later, however, he has a master's degree in public policy from Oxford University and works to champion the rights of young people with disabilities around the globe. Andapo intends to deliver a message to the UN General Assembly from space, quote, on behalf of young people everywhere who have ever felt excluded by society, end quote. Production on the Untitled Project is slated to begin next year. And that's the news for this week. You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is Disability Beat. I'm Vicki Nicewander, and I'm joined today by my guest, J.J. Hanley. Now, J.J. has been on the show before, but in a different role as the founder of J.J.'s List, which we won't spend time talking about, but you can Google J.J.'s List and learn more about it. Now, J.J. is the director of Illinois ABLE with the Illinois Treasurer's Office. So I'm really excited, J.J., to have you on the show.
Thank you, Vicki. It's a thrill to be back with you on this show and to have the opportunity to talk with our listeners about ABLE. And it's important as a new game-changing way for people with disabilities and their families to save their private funds, invest their private funds, use those private funds tax-free, earn on them tax-free, and do all of this without losing access to their federal means tested benefits such as SSI, SSDI, and Medicaid.
So why don't you talk a little bit about what ABLE is and why families and people with disabilities need to know about it?
ABLE stands for Achieving a Better Life Experience, and ABLE accounts are new. They're only a couple of years old in the oldest states that offer them. Illinois included, our program, our plan is only about just under 2 years old. And the ABLE Act came into being 4 years ago to address this issue of individuals with disabilities who need access to public benefits, having to enter into a lifetime of chronic poverty because of a lot of the asset caps that are put on us if we receive benefits, specifically SSI, which requires a $2,000 asset cap. It means you can't ever have any assets. And so this act changes that. It makes it possible. If you open an ABLE account as an account owner, you can save and invest your money, gift money, paychecks, earnings that you might make in an ABLE account, invest those funds without losing or losing access to those federal means-tested benefits program like SSI, SSDI, Medicaid, HUD, SNAP, and other benefits that individuals with disabilities may rely upon.
Absolutely.
And the folks who can own an ABLE account, people often say, well, who owns the ABLE account? Here's a cool part about ABLE, is that the person with the disability is always the beneficiary of the ABLE account and always the account owner. And that's really unique when you compare it to other kinds of programs like 529 college savings plans that some listeners might have for their kids or have for themselves. In that world, you can open and own a 529 account for yourself or for other people. With ABLE, part of giving people with independence, with disabilities, some independence in controlling their lives was to make it that an individual with a disability is always the owner of the account. So let me just share with you the two things people should think about in knowing whether they're eligible. Eligibility for an ABLE account, an Illinois ABLE account, or any ABLE account that one might open, is your onset of disability has to have happened prior to turning age 26. Don't have to have the diagnosis prior to 26, although many do. Your onset has to be prior to 26. And number two is that you are a person with a disability who is entitled to receive SSI or SSDI benefits or has a similarly severe disability certified in writing by a licensed physician. So in other words, I may have a disability that qualifies me for federal means-tested benefits like SSI, SSDI. I might not be receiving them for one reason or another. As long as I have a letter that by a licensed physician that certifies that I qualify for an ABLE account, I can open one. I don't have to be receiving benefits in order to have an ABLE account. Hopefully that makes sense. And Vicki, I want to add before we go much further, for our listeners, at the end of the, I'm going to give you the website where you can go to get detailed information about the Illinois ABLE plan so that when you hear what I'm saying and you're like, well, what about this and what about that? There is a document called the Plan Disclosure Document, and there's also a lot of explanatory information on the website that will help people to educate themselves about ABLE. So this is overview-ish, a little bit broad strokes, but hopefully it'll give you enough to know what other questions you have or go to the website and find more information. And I'll give it to you now. That website is ill.savewithable.com. And I'll give it to you again before we're finished.
Perfect. So let's talk a little bit about the big points about what people need to know. One question first, though, is this only for individuals with disabilities who are able to manage their own money, or is it also possible for a person who has a financial POA or guardian to be able to have one?
Great question, Vicki. And in Illinois, although the person with the disability is always the account owner, some individuals really need significant support to manage an account, may need somebody to open it and manage it for them entirely, and others with disabilities may be perfectly able and willing and interested in managing themselves. Here's how it works. A person with a disability can open an Illinois ABLE account if he or she is his or her own guardian. So if I'm my own guardian, I can open and manage my ABLE account on my own. If I could do that, but I'm not all that comfortable managing it myself, I can grant power of attorney to another adult to manage that account for me at different levels. And when you enroll, you can figure out what those levels would be. If I have the capacity to make decisions for myself, in other words, I'm my own guardian, I don't have a guardian, I can open an ABLE account myself. I can use a power of attorney to give someone else the authority to do so, and it simplifies that process. If I am an individual who's under guardianship, the way that an account can be opened for me very easily, and a lot of folks do this, is I can have an authorized individual open the account and manage the account on my behalf. So now put on your authorized individual hat. If you are a guardian of an adult with a disability, you can open an ABLE account for that adult either by submitting copies of your guardianship of estate documents. Or in Illinois, you can also submit a copy of a birth certificate that as a parent, and you can open up an account for your adult child that way. If you are a parent of a minor with a disability and want to open an account, you do not need to submit any documentation. You can just check the box that you're a parent of a minor and open the account. So those are a lot of different options. I think I just spouted off five different ways that an account can be opened. I'm an individual with a disability and I'm opening it for myself. I'm a guardian of the estate of an adult with a disability. I'm a parent of an adult with a disability, in which case I use a birth certificate. I'm a parent of a minor, in which case I don't need to submit documents. It's laid out pretty clearly when you go through the enrollment process, but yes, that long answer is you can open and manage an account for an adult with an individual with a disability who may not have the capacity or ability to do so himself.
Okay, great. And what's the difference between ABLE account and special needs trust? Can you have both? Do you need both?
Great question. I'll qualify first by saying, since I'm not an attorney, I'll keep it really simple. Mm-hmm. Special needs trusts and ABLE accounts are different. One can have a special needs trust and also have an Illinois ABLE account. Often the two can go hand in hand. For individuals who have special needs trusts, there are some different ways in which they operate. It's not in the individual with the disability's name. You have a trustee involved. You have to have an attorney help you set it up. A lot of people with special needs trust add an ABLE account and to their financial wellness portfolio and use the ABLE account as an add-on tool to where they put, sometimes they'll put distributions from a special needs trust into the individual's ABLE account or paychecks or gifts that are in the individual's name, which can't go into a third party special needs trust. So the two are not mutually exclusive. If you have an SNT, that doesn't mean you can't have an ABLE account. If you have an ABLE account, doesn't mean you can't have an SNT. For a lot of folks, an ABLE account is an alternative to an SNT. It's slightly different. It's a different product altogether. But for many people who, having the means to get a special needs trust just are not there. And this enable account makes it possible to have a way to save and invest money for disability related expenses without having a special needs trust.
So in essence, the person who's managing the special needs trust could deposit money for the individual into their ABLE account, and they could have a checkbook or a debit card or something like that to actually make expenditures from that?
That's correct. And for a lot of, for the Illinois ABLE plan is unique to other plans in that there is a checking account option that is a full checking account with a real-time debit card. And so, for example, let's say I'm an individual with a disability who has a special needs trust, and the trustee could decide to have a regular amount of money transferred from the trust into my ABLE account, and I have a debit card, and I also have check writing capacity with that checking account, I now have this opportunity to help to take care of myself, to use the funds in my ABLE account for many of the expenses that I incur as an individual with a disability.
Okay. Okay.
So, and Vicki, if you don't mind, I'd love to talk a little bit about what are those qualified disability expenses?
Sure. Absolutely.
And I think it's an important thing because people say, well, what can I spend the money on? What can these accounts be used for? An ABLE account can be used for a long list of expenses that come with living with a disability. The United States Treasury, under which the ABLE program operates, the federal law is housed, has indicated that the list of qualified disability expenses is not exhaustive. It includes basic living expenses and may be attributed to the health, independence, and quality of life of the account owner. So some examples include education, paying for a job coach or a tutor, paying for transportation or a trip, buying things that help me have and enjoy being part of the community, paying for personal support work services, paying for health, prevention, and wellness, you know, a membership to a gym, paying for financial services, paying for legal fees, taking a class, paying for rent, putting money toward a mortgage on a home, paying for accessible equipment. The list is long, and as the Treasury says, it's not meant to be exhaustive. When you read what they say, the idea is that pretty much all expenses that I may incur as an individual with a disability are part of living with a disability. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that we want to be aware of is that when I spend money out of my ABLE account, that it's for my benefit as the account owner, the beneficiary, the individual with the disability, not for the benefit of somebody else.
Right. Right. So I have a question for you then. We have friends who the person is an adult with a disability. His father passed away before they had an opportunity or even knowledge about setting up special needs trusts or ABLE accounts or anything else, left the young man a large amount of money. And now, of course, he doesn't qualify for any Medicaid services because he's got money in his name. Can
right.
that money over time be deposited into an ABLE account so that after a period of years, he might be able to qualify for Medicaid services?
Yes. So the individual could open up his ABLE account, and each year, the maximum amount that can go into the ABLE account is $15,000. That's the current max from all sources. So let's, keeping this example really tight, let's say he can take from his personal money, put $15,000 a year into the account. Mm-hmm. If he happens to be working, he can now put in an additional amount into his ABLE account each year, up to the gross wages that he's earning, or the poverty limit, which this year currently is $12,060. So if he's working, he can put an additional amount into his account. But year by year, he could put in the maximum amount, and Social Security won't look at that in testing, in doing the resource test for qualifying for federal means tested benefits.
Okay, so that will take care of the 5-year look back period.
You're asking me, Vicki, a question that I probably can't give. I'm not as familiar with the 5-year look back period as perhaps I should be to answer the question fully.
That's okay. We can do a different program on that.
Let me just qualify by saying I don't know the answer to that, and I don't want to mislead people. So our example may need a little bit more research.
Okay. All right, so we've got a couple of minutes left, JJ. What else is really important for folks to know?
Other things that are super important for people to understand. The benefits of owning an Illinois ABLE account are many. As I mentioned, earnings and withdrawals on Illinois ABLE accounts are tax-free as long as they're used for that qualified disability expense list. The account's investment and checking options give the account owners flexibility and freedom to take care of their expenses and to save for the future. Account owners who receive SSI can accumulate up to $100,000 in an ABLE account before their SSI payments are temporarily suspended. They will not lose their qualifications for SSI. They just are temporarily suspended till the balance goes down below $100,000. But the entire account balance in an ABLE account in Illinois can grow as high as $450,000. There are some other really great new tax benefits to Illinois ABLE accounts, and that is that an Illinois taxpayer can make contributions to any Illinois ABLE account now and take a state income tax deduction for those contributions of up to $10,000 if I file as an individual and up to $20,000 if I'm filing jointly. You should consult with your tax advisor, but for example, I gave a contribution to an Illinois ABLE account owner account recently as a gift, and I saved my receipt for that contribution. And in April, I will deduct that gift into his account from my state income tax. You don't hear about tax deductions.
100% deduction?
100% up to $10,000 because I file as an individual.
Wow.
So let's say I am the parent of an account owner and I want to put, and I'm an Illinois taxpayer, I can put, let's say, $15,000 into my child's ABLE account. And I can, and if I do it this year, I can deduct that $15,000 if I'm married filing jointly, because there's a $20,000 cap if I'm married, right, in your deduction.
Right.
I can deduct that $15,000 from my state income taxes next April. So I don't want to confuse folks, but you should consult with your tax advisor. But the law was passed in August. It was signed by the governor, and it took effect immediately. So it's a fabulous new way for us as families to really benefit from having an ABLE account. We talked about you will not lose your federal benefits. You will never lose your Medicaid benefits, no matter how high your account balance gets. Just that SSI benefit that will be temporarily suspended if you hit $100,000. You do not have to live in Illinois to open an Illinois ABLE account. You can open an Illinois ABLE account from any state, but the tax benefits are really good here in Illinois for those of us who live and pay taxes here.
So where can people go to learn more about this, JJ? Because we have about 30 seconds left and we...
Okay, I'm going to say this. Website. You should visit our ADA compliant website at ill.savewithable.com. ill.savewithable.com. Or call Illinois ABLE at 888-609-8683. Customer service reps are always happy to hear from you, and I'm always available. Vicki, you have my email address. Don't hesitate to share it with folks. We're always happy to talk with our disability community about this fabulous new program.
Thank you. JJ Hanley, Director of Illinois ABLE, thanks for joining the show today. No, I'll stand my ground, won't be turned
around. You're listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. You can hear a disability beat every Monday at 5 p.m. on WEFT Community Radio. At 5:30 each weekday, you can hear a different information program. On Mondays, we bring you Rootstock Radio, coming up next. Then at 6 p.m., stay tuned for In the Know.
Welcome to Rootstock
Radio.
That's
why I always leave the written.
Join us as host Teresa Marquez talks to leaders from the good food movement about food, farming, and our global future. Rootstock Radio, propagating a healthy planet. Now, here's host Teresa Marquez.
Hello and welcome to Rootstock Radio. I'm Teresa Marquez, and what fun to be here at the Bioneers, where we are broadcasting this interview. And it is wonderful to be here today with author, activist, and permaculture designer